Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Ryan Michaels here with your boy, Chip Tiernan.
What it do?
The Eagles had their first preseason game. And, you know, first team looked pretty good. The first preseason game. I can't really say too much, but yeah.
Yeah, they played one drive. And, yeah. They seem to be clicking on all cylinders. So,
and someone tried to murder Jalen Hurts.
Yes, they did. And then Jordan
Nick Sirianni, threw expletives out of his mouth towards the entire Jet sideline.
And then, Jordan Mailata, being the homie that he is, you know, stepped in and.
Look, I'm just saying, if I were to ever be a quarterback. And I had a man the size of Jordan Mailata in front of me.
Yeah.
I'd feel fine.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
But we'll get into the rest of camp, the game, what we liked, what we didn't like, and just news overall. There was a trade. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's gone.
He is gone.
To Seattle.
He is going to Seattle.
To play with DK Metcalf, who apparently the Eagles weren't even going to take anyway. So I guess it didn't matter after all.
That's great.
Anywho, Sixers, the Kevin Durant saga exists, and that's about it.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, if we hear anything, I doubt it. But if I'm wrong, well, I've been wrong before.
True.
The Phillies... tough series against the Mets, and they're still overall playing really well, especially since the All-Star break. Bryce Harper expected to come back early September from what we're hearing. We'll get into more details with that and what we can expect with the team and what other moves they made. But at this time, I got nothing left. What you say, Chippe?
Excuse the Rocky music.
You're listening to a Philly Sports Nation production,
enhancing your Philly sports experience.
Let's get in the huddle and talk some birds, baby.
Go birds.
Go birds.
Go birds.
Birds. We're almost at that time of year where you go into a store, you go anywhere, you hold a door for someone, and the first words out of your mouth are, go birds. And that's please, thank you. You're welcome.
Yep.
Hi.
Have a good day.
Chip, what's up? Go Birds.
Go Birds.
That's it.
Yep. Simple as that.
It's awesome.
Yeah, Go Birds. It's great.
Speaking of, we had our first preseason game. The first team played one whole drive, which led to a touchdown. Jalen Hurts, 2, Dallas Goedert. And I'm not too mad about it. Looked pretty good.
Yeah, they looked solid, man. Hurts looked really solid. The offense overall looked really, really solid. And it's definitely a promising sign.
It is only preseason. I'm not getting too hyped up over it. But when you see exactly what's supposed to happen in the preseason happen,
yeah,
you know, it just makes you feel good.
It does.
And then, so Jalen Hurts went 6 for 6, I believe, right?
He did.
And with a touchdown, Dallas Goedert looked really good and apparently is having a really good camp. From what we hear on Jalen Hurts, the deep passes are a lot better. Looks like he's getting better reads, but again, everything is hearsay. I want to see things. And the main reason I say that is because Jalen Reagor is apparently having a really good camp.
Exactly.
And Chip and I were talking about this right before we started recording, and I said, I won't believe it until I see it. And this goes back to our methodology on how we forgive. Prove me wrong.
Absolutely.
Take it in and prove me wrong. And you know what? If he is able to prove us wrong, I wouldn't even care if he got into the end zone and gave the entire city the middle finger.
I would love it, honestly.
Honest to God, that's exactly what he needs to do. Now, yeah. I know everyone wouldn't like that, but to me, that is saying, I heard you, and this is me. That's what I see. But yep. Maybe not everyone would.
No, not everyone, but I think, you know, if he were to bounce back, then he has every right to. And I can't fault him for it. So we'll see what happens with him. And like you said, I hope he does, because it's better for us. So, you know, same thing we said with Nelson Agholor a few years ago. Same thing with Alec Boehm recently, you know, when he was struggling, we booed him, and he said, you know, I'm not going to say what he said on here, but you know what he said. We loved it. And now he's great. Now he's playing great. So we'll see what happens with Jalen Reagor.
See, Alec Boehm also just owned it straight up. He was like, I'm just frustrated. And I might have said something I didn't really mean. I was just really PO'd.
Yeah, and that happens.
It happens.
It does.
You know, when I'm in work and everything's going wrong, I say I hate this place too. So, you know, right. I don't really. It's just everything is going wrong at one moment, and you're like, oh, my God, I hate everything.
Exactly. So it's just heat of the moment. You know, something he didn't mean, was just frustrated, and he said it. He owned up to it. We move on, and now he's hitting great. So if Jalen Reagor can do the same thing, then I'm fine with it. He can do whatever he wants. He can flip us off. He can say he hates us. I don't care, because everyone hates us, no matter what.
Everyone hates us anyway.
Exactly.
So welcome to the list.
Yeah.
The Eagles made a trade. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming, because I didn't think anyone would trade for him, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we got a defensive back in return, Ugo Amadi. I looked him up, fourth round pick a couple years ago. It's kind of been a backup for them. So he's played some safety. He's played some nickel corner. Just good depth for us at a position, probably our weakest position, honestly, at safety. But again, he has played nickel corner before. So, you know. But yeah, JJ just didn't work out, to say the least. It's a shame, you know.
The picture with the umbrella haunted him forever.
Yeah, that, you know, being compared to, you know, players that were drafted after him. Now his new teammate, DK Metcalf, being one of them.
Sounds like a very familiar situation.
Yeah.
I wonder what that sounds like.
Yeah, we're not going to name any names.
I just can't help but nip this feeling in the butt that sounds really identical to a situation that happened very soon after it.
Maybe a year after?
Yeah.
Around?
I just have a feeling what is it? Anyway,
yeah.
I don't know. I'll remember eventually.
Yeah. But yeah, JJ gone. And like I said, just didn't work out. Tried to move him to tight end. And he looked even worse, if I'm going to be honest. I don't know what it was. Just, you know, I mean, didn't get a lot of playing time. And when he did, he wasn't great and had a lot of drops. And it was definitely a missed pick on the Eagles' part. And, you know, now you got to trade him and get anything you can back. So now we got Amadi back, and we'll see how he does. But, you know, I hope JJ the best, and I hope he does well in Seattle.
Yeah, best of luck and everything. I don't really care.
Yeah, just a modern move. I like our depth at tight end anyway, so should be fine there, and we'll see what happens.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the – a little bit more in-depth of the first drive. Anything that you saw that stuck out other than Jalen Hurts almost getting murdered?
Yeah, that was I don't know what was going on there. That was
late.
That was a dirty play. It just was.
People try to argue that it's really hard to stop your momentum, but you don't put your head down.
Right. You don't have to do it the way that he did it. I really liked that Sirianni reacted the way that he did. I liked the way the players reacted. I have no problem with them, sticking up for the guy, obviously. as some expletives were said by Sirianni that you could clearly tell while watching the game. But he had every right to be upset, as did the team. So
it's the preseason.
Yeah, it was a dirty play. First drive of the preseason. It's our starting quarterback. Just a dirty play, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion. So just no reason for it. But yeah, the offense overall looked really good. Like you said, Jalen Hurts looked really, really crisp. Looked pretty accurate for the most part. Like you said, was 6 for 6 on that drive. So it's a promising start, but I'm not getting my hopes up, because when you do, in this city especially, bad things happen.
And we're saying this now, but I guarantee you in 2 weeks, we'll be so on the train that it's just in full swing,
Yeah, for sure. So, but yeah, I think overall the offense in general just looked really, really clean, really smooth. The offensive line looked good. Miles Sanders looked good. He continues to impress in camp, apparently, as does Dallas Goedert, who had the touchdown. So, again, a small sample size, but hopefully promising signs moving forward.
Now, we saw a little bit into Kobe Dean. Yep. Did you see anything there?
Yeah, he looked good. Didn't really see any injury problems, which is why he fell in the draft. But he played. He looked solid. The starters for the most part did well. Even the backups did well. Then, when the third and fourth strings got in there, that's when they kind of didn't play as well. But, they're backups, so I'm not really worried about it. I didn't see any problems with Dean and the injuries that plagued him, apparently, that made him fall in the draft.
I think that he looked fine. I don't see where a lot of – I don't know where they got that information from, and I don't know where he fell so far from. It didn't make any sense for a talent like that, who, in my mind, I expected him to go in the first.
Yeah.
I really did.
He was a first-round talent, no doubt about it.
And I just – I think the Eagles might have hit the draft lottery. And that's a pun, I guess, but that was unintentional. Now I feel dumb. Okay, moving on.
Speaking of rookies, Jordan Davis looked really good. He's
a very large man. I would be frightened to go against on a football field.
He was getting double and triple teamed, and it was insane. He can just move guys at will. It's something, man. He looked solid. Cam Jurgens, our second round pick, looked really solid out there when he was at center. The rookies looked good when they were out there, which is a huge sign.
That's all good news. It's the first preseason game. I'm not going to get all worked up over it. I think it's nice to see that the first team came out and really performed. Yep. And I think that as long as they're able to keep that flow where the people watching see you play and it looks like you're going through the motions successfully without really exerting all this energy. It looked like they just had the connections and they made it happen real quick. And I liked what I saw from the first team.
Agreed.
At that point, that's really all that I tuned in for. Kind of just had it on in the background after that.
Yeah, same.
But, there's going to be a lot more to come, obviously. No new depth chart came out, so nothing else has changed.
Yep.
And that's about it. Do you have anything else to add there?
No, that's about it. Just looking forward to the season. It's almost here, man.
Yes, it is. And because football is back, our episodes will be releasing on Wednesday.
Yes.
You know, we also enjoy Monday Night Football, especially when the Birds play, so we don't want to miss a game. Anywho, Sixers news, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Kevin Durant still wants to trade, and nothing's happened, so that's it.
A confidential settlement with he who shall not be named in this city ever again.
Yep.
Shouldn't have got a penny, but whatever.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's over. Whatever.
It's over.
Then what else do we have? Nothing. Which I like at this time of year. All right, let's move on to the Phillies. Walk it off.
And?
You said and?
And I'm in baseball. I'm in football mode and baseball mode right now.
Good. Good. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
So let's lead it off with Bryce Harper will likely be back on or around September 1st. And that was from Dave Dombrowski. He was talking with Chris Russo, I believe, on MLB Network, the Mad Dog. So I thought he'd be back a little earlier. But then again, I don't blame the Phillies and Bryce Harper for being conservative in their approach and making sure that he is A-OK to go before just shoving him back in the lineup. Do you think that he will have, I don't want to say weeks, but a couple weeks of rehab starts, just spotty rehab starts, or do you think they're just going to go 1-2-3 and back in?
I don't know. They might get him in a AAA rehab game or two. It just depends on how he feels. If he needs those starts, then you might as well do it. Yeah. But yeah, when he was broadcasting with Tom McCarthy and John Kruk, he said he would be back in September. So it's a good sign that, you know, Dave Dombrowski has come out and said that they're aiming for September 1st, which is good. Cause the sooner he's back, the better this team's going to be. So
with the team being the way that it is, I think it is important for him to be back. And
yeah,
I really do hate to look into next year, but with the injury that Bryce Harper has, he will likely need Tommy John surgery. That's the problem for the future that people aren't looking at. So what the Phillies are really doing this year is going all in with what they have, and they do have a lineup to do it. They addressed the pitching. They made the moves that they needed to at the trade deadline to bolster the roster, really. And the team has come together and played excellently under Rob Thomson. So yeah, with the way that this team has changed its course after the firing of Joe Girardi, and at first I wasn't sure it was going to do anything just because of the way they were playing. But again, as I've said before, I have been wrong a lot. Like, a lot. I'm no pro sports analyst. I just talk sports and really enjoy it. It is fun.
Yeah.
But knowing that, with this year being, you know, that injury will affect Bryce Harper long term into next year. Do you think it's the right move, which everyone does, or do you think that really is the Phillies saying they have a chance to win the World Series this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've been one of the best teams since we fired Joe Girardi. You know, we're right in the hunt. We have, I think, the second wild card spot at this moment of recording this. So we're right there. That's been without Harper. It's been without Segura for a long while. He's back now, but so yeah, we're right there. And you know, this is definitely the year that the playoff drought might end. You know, I'm not going to say for sure, but if they keep playing the way that they are, then they have a good shot. And it, you know, it only takes for a team to get hot in the playoffs to make a deep run. So, you know, if Harper can come back and, you know, this team can get hot at the right time, then who's to say, you know, we can't make a deep run. So definitely, you know, got to bring him back and see what this team can do in September and October.
Baseball, like hockey, we've said this before. I believe it was me last podcast. It's one of those sports where if you get hot,
yep,
that's your year.
For sure.
We talked about this with the Nationals when they won, unfortunately. Wish they didn't. But you don't have to be a division winner to win the World Series. You have to get hot at the right time and stay hot.
Exactly.
And if the Phillies can ride out August and September hot, that's going to be scary come October.
For sure.
So I think the biggest concern for me right now is the Noah Syndergaard acquisition. I think that a lot of people don't realize that he's not the same Noah Syndergaard that you might have seen a few years ago, that he might have to work a little bit harder. And I don't mean harder as in throwing harder. I mean, he's going to be more of a guy who nips the zone and really causes guys to fight. And he's working on different off-speed pitches to make things happen. So do you see that being a question mark going forward?
I mean, it could be, but in my opinion, he's looked solid since he's been here in the three starts that he's pitched. And the thing I like about it is, like you said, they are working on his other pitches to see what works. You know, he's still giving up some hits and he's still giving up some runs, but nothing to the point where they lose the game. You know, I think they've won every start that he's been in so far. So, you know, he was acquired to eat up innings. Especially with Zach Eflin being hurt.
At this point, I don't expect him to come back.
At this point, probably not. But we'll see. I mean, maybe he gets hot and who knows. But he was just, in my opinion, acquired, like I said, to eat up innings and maybe possibly get a start in the playoffs if we make it again. But we'll see. He was just, you know, just to get a veteran guy in here who has playoff experience. In my opinion, he's looked pretty solid, and I like the fact that they're working with him to maybe potentially, you know, maybe throw a pitch more or a pitch less, or, you know,
just tweak certain pitches to make them work more effectively. I think the biggest thing I read is that they're really working on the curveball to try to, it doesn't have to be the same as it was at his peak, but more effective of a pitch for him. I think if he's able, he doesn't even have to retool his pitching arsenal. He just has to
throw the pitch more.
Exactly. I really think that that's the only issue. I'm not frightened with him starting. I just don't think at this point in time that he would be a playoff starter. I think you're right in the aspect that he is going to eat up a lot of innings in August and September, which is good.
Yeah.
But I would think that even Ranger Suarez would be a playoff third starter.
Yeah. Right now, I mean, definitely, especially with the way he's been pitching, he's probably our third starter at this point. Obviously, you get Wheeler and Nola first and second. But yeah, right now it's probably Ranger at the moment. And if he can,
he's earned it too.
He has. He's been really good.
And that's no disrespect to Syndergaard either. I'm not trying to say that, but at this point in his career, I think he would be super effective out of the bullpen in the playoffs. That would be
He would
huge. So
for sure. So yeah, right now I think it's definitely Ranger. He's been really good ever since he's been gotten off the IL. I think it was like mid July. So I think he's definitely earned it. And I think right now, if it was right now, he would be the third guy.
And now we look at the offense and the way that the Phillies have been playing overall. What have you seen so far throughout this hot stretch from the Phillies? I know it's a very broad term, and we've talked a lot about it, but what is the most consistent thing you've seen?
Well, I'll tell you, Bryson Stott's been hot, and that's a great, great sign. Ever since, really, the All-Star break, in my opinion, he's been really good. And then ever since Schwarber's gotten, you know, banged up a little bit, they moved him up into the leadoff spot, and he's been great. So if Stott can keep up what he's been doing, that's only going to help this team even more. I love what I've been seeing out of him. You know, JT's hitting a lot better recently. And even just like some of the bench guys, like Edmundo Sosa.
Freaking, you know, Nick Maton, man.
Nick Maton's been phenomenal. We talked about him last week. But Edmundo Sosa yesterday, as we record this, had three RBIs and a couple defensive web gems. I mean, he had a great day yesterday. So we're getting, you know, we're getting contributions from guys that we probably didn't expect. Like you said, Maton and Sosa and Bryson Stott, who's been really hot. And so, you know, we're getting help.
Derek Hall.
Yeah. I mean, he's been good ever since he got called up. You know, he's been just a solid middle of the order guy, you know, with some pop. So he's been good as well. Just
he's been hovering around 270.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you would expect us to say like JT or Reese or Nick Castellanos or, you know, Gene Segura, but you know, it's some of the young guys that have come up and played really well for him.
And that's not even to say that Reese or Castellanos have been bad as of late.
Yeah.
Castellanos, I think he brought his average over 260 finally, and Reese Hoskins has been hitting consistently 250 for the whole year and occasional power, and that's what you expect out of Reese Hoskins. Absolutely. Now, the one thing I am expecting soon is his hot streak and then cold streak coming.
Yes.
It's just – it is what it is. Seeing the guy play, and it happens.
Yep. Yeah, we've seen enough of Reese to know when he's hot and when he's not. So that's definitely – yeah, he definitely goes on streaks. But, hey, you know, he's been pretty consistent over this stretch, and hopefully he can keep it up. And hopefully the lineup in general can keep it up. And hopefully Schwarber comes back soon. I don't think he's going to be on the IL. Just had – I think he had like a calf strain, I think it was. So hopefully he'll be back soon. But yeah.
We'll yeah, they're probably just being cautious with it. There's no point to rush him back, especially if the team's playing well. And like you said, if these young guys can get their at bats while performing, that's perfect for this team and that's perfect for the future of the team. So I'm not gonna be worried about it until things start turning south.
Absolutely.
If, yes.
Big if.
Big old if. Well,
so, hey man, we will see. It should be a fun August and September coming up. Hopefully exciting baseball to come.
Speaking of fun things in August and September, let's move it on to fantasy football.
Mm.
So, how excited are you to sit down every Sunday and listen to Scott Hansen talk?
Immensely.
I can't wait for my fantasy football team to lose by 60 points in the first week, as is tradition.
Yeah. I can't wait for my starters to get hurt and then be out for the year.
It always happens.
Yeah.
At least we had one draft very early this year, and I am so, so concerned.
Yeah. I mean, it's the price you pay, man. You got to get lucky.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, I really think that the one thing to keep in mind is this, believe it or not, is a pretty receiver deep draft. I didn't really see it that way until the board fell the way that it did in our recent draft.
Yeah.
But there was just so many good receiving options available late, and a lot of the running back options disappeared. Now, every league is different depending on what rules you have, but I have a super flex league that I'm panicking on what to draft for that league.
Yeah. I mean, especially in today's NFL, you know, you have the, you know, running back by committees nowadays. You know, there's not many guys who take the bulk of the carries. You know, there's a few, you know, like Derrick Henry, or, you know, when Christian McCaffrey's healthy, and Jonathan Taylor last year and hopefully this year. Obviously the top guys are the top guys for a reason, but there's not many of those guys that are just, you know, you have one running back and that's it. You know, a lot of teams are doing the committee, you know, one being the Eagles, obviously, but, you know, obviously the 49ers love to do the committee. Miami Dolphins have a bunch of good running, you know, good solid running backs. So it's tough, you know. But with wide receivers, you know, teams usually play three. So there's a lot more, you know, depth at wide receiver than running back most of the time. So, you know, that's why people love their running backs early and then, you know, play it how the board falls after that. But, you know, it depends on how you draft and depends on what you like and who you like.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone also has their own preferences.
For sure.
The biggest thing I can say is stick to your guns unless you know what someone else is going to do who is also a good drafter.
Yeah, I mean, and if you like a player, draft them. You know, don't – if they're projected in the fourth or fifth, you know, if you like them, take them in the third. Who cares? Because they may not be there when you get back. So if you like a player that much, then might as well pull the trigger.
Well, I think we've reached our destination for the day, Chip.
Yeah.
Wow. We've reached our destination. I love football. I can't wait.
I have another draft on Thursday, so.
I have one on the 28th, one on the 6th, and one hasn't been set yet.
Better get going on that.
When does the season start?
Thursday Night Football, September 8th.
Ah.
And then the first Sunday is September 11th.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's creeping up.
It's coming in fast.
Yeah.
Which is great, because I want football right now.
We have reached our destination for the day. We'd like to thank you for listening to the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Go to PHLSportsNation.com for all your Philly sports wants, needs, and desires. Go to the podcast tab. Go to the PHL Bandwagon. You can find us on Spotify there. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, most likely wherever podcasts are available, we're there. If we're not on a platform that you utilize frequently, shoot us an email at PHLTheBandwagon@gmail.com. And we will go ahead and try to accommodate you. We also have mailbox. If you have any questions you want to ask us that you want us to discuss on the podcast or any topics you want as a poll on Twitter, feel free to shoot us an email at phlthebandwagon@gmail.com. Keep the swear words minimum if possible. That would be nice. It's also on the post. Please, that would be nice. Try to keep it a little bit family friendly. Unless someone does something egregious mid-game, then I'll forgive it. But we'll see. And probably not. Then, yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at the PHL Bandwagon, the same handle on Facebook. You can follow me at PHL Ryan Michaels. You can follow Chip at PHL Chip Tiernan. We share polls weekly. We do love the engagement. Everyone always has some nice things to say, nice things to add to the conversation. And some of the polls do go in a different, intriguing way than I would have thought. When we first submit them, but again, Instagram, I don't think so.
You never know, though.
If you ever see it pop up, just think about it this way. I probably died.
Or we got hacked.
Yeah, we got hacked.
Yeah.
Because that's been the longest recurring joke. Now, the fact that Instagram is a possibility, but TikTok is not. That's not possible. That's just never going to happen. I'm not even going to say probably. I'm saying no.
All right. Well, there you have it.
But yep, we've reached our destination. Go to the Wake Shop. Get some nice hoodies, t-shirts, and hats. We'll see you at the next stop. Go. Birds.
Come here.
Birds.
Birds.